You know, it's time for you to take a good long look at exactly what's happening in world conditions and to wonder where we go from here. What does the future hold? Are these major prophecies of the Word of God going to come to pass? And is there any kind of a schedule of events? And are we living in that time when we're going to see the fulfillment of about 90% of all biblical prophecy in the next very few years? When all this begins to happen in Europe, of the United States of Europe, of the great beast power emerging with this great fallen woman astride that beast that you see in Revelation 17, it can happen very, very rapidly, very quickly. It can take your breath with the suddenness of it. And almost before you know it, the United States can be cut off and isolated with just a sick partner over there of Britain, whose own economy can be going down the drain, and a great revitalized, powerful military organization can be looming up in Europe, cooperating fully with some of the Asiatic countries, principally Japan, and the United States will find itself without those wonderful friends that we have been with and been protecting and been allowing to build up their industry under the nuclear umbrella of our own defense mechanism for all these many years. It's about time you began to become aware of what biblical prophecy really says. In the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, we had covered all the way to the fourth in this mysterious book of symbols, one of the most important books in all the Bible in biblical prophecy. We had come last time to the end of the fourth chapter, and as I was saying, this is just the introductory portion to those mysterious seals that are opened. And you see here that there is a scroll, as it were, or a book, more like a scroll, written and sealed with seven seals, chapter 5 and verse 1. The setting is in heaven. John sees him that sat on the throne, which is God, the picture, though, of Jesus Christ at his right hand. And he said he saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, verse 2 of chapter 5, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" His curiosity was aroused. There was a seal, seven of them, on a scroll. And no one, as Ivan Panin says, or no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John said he was fairly beside himself with anxiety because no one was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And he said, "One of the elders said unto him, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And that is reference to Jesus Christ, who is called symbolically the Lamb that was slain. Notice verse 6. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Those seven spirits are mentioned in the first chapter, and they are mentioned in the letters to the churches. Why aren't three or four or five or six of them retired? Why are they active, extant, alive? Why are they sent forth from God into all the earth? Because seven is completion. And the body of Jesus Christ is complete. And because seven is perfection, and because he intends to perfect the saints, and that it perfectly fulfilled the great commission that he gave it. And those eyes sent forth into the earth. That's very interesting, because the eyes and the ears of the eternal are to be those human instruments inspired by God's own Spirit, under whom Jesus Christ of Nazareth is over the church, and the leaders of that organization under him are to be crying aloud, sparing not, showing my people what is going to happen, what are their personal sins, what they ought to do about it. And there is an organization, a spiritual organism, which can become a physical organization, that is prophesied to fulfill that great commission, to warn the people of the Western democracies and all nations what the Bible says is going to come to pass. Here are the great prophecies in the Bible, where Ezekiel was sent to some of the Middle Eastern nations, Egypt, and some of the others around the nation of Israel. Great prophecies of sending messages to the great Gentile countries. And unless they hear it, and they know they've heard it, and unless they are taught, unless disciples are made of them, then the Great Commission is not really being fulfilled. Not that every last isolated little country on the face of the earth must be reached, meaning all of its populace. Because I believe other scriptures in the latter chapters of the book of Isaiah show that a great deal of that is going to be done by the second half of Jesus' ministry, which after all was to last for 7 years, and he was cut off in the midst of 3 1/2 years. And there is another 3 1/2 year period after his second coming, before the real beginning of the millennium, in which millions of Gentile people are to hear that message. But that message is going out. You're hearing a part of it right now. and you need to understand exactly the true meaning of the gospel and what is ahead in the future.